So we've been chatting this last couple of weeks about there is more. And I've got good news for this morning. There's even more. There's just even more. In God, there is more. I'm telling you, we could chat for the next 10 years and it'd still be more. We're going to get to eternity, and I want to share your heart and want to let you know this morning. We're going to get to eternity, and we're going to spend forever realizing that there's more in Jesus. We're going to spend forever realizing there's more. Wow, there's more, Lord? Yeah, there's more, because he's never ending. Imagine he fills the whole universe. His presence fills the whole universe. And this morning, there is more, and there's still more. And the word that God just put in my heart, we were just praying about it yesterday, and here's the word that God just puts direct into our hearts, was endurance. Ever find yourself going for something, and then you said to yourself, huh, I wish it was a bit easier. You know, I was thinking this thing would have just worked out. You ever find how you go for something, you get yourself set up, maybe you even prepared really well, and it's still really tough, a bit like a test. You know, you revise really well, you practice really hard, you go for it, and it's still tough. I mean, tests are supposed to be tough. That's the idea of them. They test you. If you come through them, then they've proved you. They've increased something. They've changed something inside of you. But in between all of that, there's endurance. And endurance is not nice. Endurance is one of those things that you wish it was for somebody else, but you find that it is for you. Because as you're going through the tests, as you're going through the challenges, as you're going through the trials, there is endurance. And endurance is like one of these things where you have to just keep going. Yeah, you have to just keep going at it. You have to keep facing it. You have to keep enduring. And of course, God has got lots of different things to say about that. And I feel like this morning, God wants to say to us that it's a key for us as Christians. That even as Christians, we are not past that. Even as Christians, we're not past that. In fact, maybe we have to endure all the more because the enemy is after us. Because remember, when we're not a Christian, then the enemy, he's satisfied, he's happy. God's not against us. But whenever we become Christians, then of course the enemy is not happy and he becomes against us. And so we do have an enemy, and there is an enemy out there trying to cause us to slip up, trying to kill, steal, and destroy us. And in the midst of the endurance of the process or the pain that you're facing or might be going through at the moment, the enemy is looking you to quit and he's looking to break you. But God says, I am a God of endurance, and I'm putting endurance inside of you, and I'm walking with you. And a couple of quick things as we look at Hebrews 12 in just a moment, but here's what I believe, just a couple of quick definitions, endurance is. It's the power to withstand. You know, whenever you're just going through a trial and you just want to sit down. You just want to let it go. I mean, maybe you're thinking about a marathon this morning. Gordon likes to run marathons. I had a friend who used to do the same. I was like, I don't know how they do it, because it's so much about endurance, about just keeping going in those moments when your mind's saying, I just want to stop. I just want to stop. I just want it to be over. And in that moment, you have a decision to make. Do I keep going or do not? You know, many times we've seen those TV programs where the person has an opportunity, or the group, and they're going through training, they're going through trials, and then there's always a get out. There's a button you can press, a bell that you can ring, or a statement that you can say. And some of us like that show, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And as soon as they say that, they can get right out of there. Because it becomes about endurance. At the beginning, it's maybe a bit of fun. At the beginning, it's just a good dream. One of the girls sent us this YouTube this week and says, hey, the dream is great, but the reality of the dream is a lot different. You know when you ever have a dream, you're like, God, I'm dreaming about this. You know, I'm dreaming about that. And then you get in the dream and the reality is a lot different. And that's when endurance counts. And that's where endurance has to start to work. And God needs to start to work in us. But good news, even from the very beginning, we're not trying to do this in our own strength. We are not trying to do this in our own strength. Because I don't know about you, but I have found when I have tried to step in and keep going, because I'm going to do this no matter what, I just get wearier and wearier. And I find myself like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And we wind up burnt out, just full of emotions, full of chaos, full of like, I just give up, Lord. But God is here this morning. He wants to encourage us that he is with us. And second quick definition, if it's about withstanding, then the second one is that you can keep going. Endurance allows you to keep going. And this is why it's such a key aspect of the Christian life. We're to run a race. Hebrews 12 tells us that. Let's read it together. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Hey, if you've done the marathon before or any kind of activity like that, there are crowds of people around you, not to run, but just to encourage. It is amazing. You need that, because endurance is tough and to keep going is difficult. But it says, lay aside every weight and that the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I am so glad that the Bible doesn't say, just run an easy race, you know, just keep going. And when it gets hard, you're lacking faith, pray a bit more. It says, no, there is endurance in this race, because this race is long. Life is a long time. Friendships are hard work sometimes. Going to church is hard work sometimes. You know, going after your dream is difficult sometimes, because for every success, there are many defeats. For every overcome, there are many times where you have felt like overcome and felt like, I'm just going to give up, never do this again, and say to everybody else, I'm never trying this again. But it's in those moments that God calls us to endure. And endurance in one of the battles that's one of the hardest is sickness. You know, whenever you're faced with sickness, or maybe you have a loved one faced with sickness, and it's just that relentless day after day, and it wearies you and it pulls you down. But good news this morning, God is with us and he causes us to endure. He actually causes us to endure and to keep going. And he gives us strength and he gives us peace and he gives us his joy. And joy is one of the most important things that we must remember as we endure. If we read on to verse 2, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him. Church, this morning, if you know the Lord and you're saved and you've asked Jesus to take away your sins, then you're a new creation in Christ. And guess what? You have the joy of the Lord. And so even when you go through trials and you go through battles and you're going through the difficult seasons of your life, you can endure because the joy of Jesus is inside you and through you. And we share about this over and over and over again because we know that our building next door is a case of endurance. That's what it is. Our building next door is a case of endurance. Will we keep going? Will we keep believing? Will we keep in faith stepping out? Will we keep enduring all that the enemy will throw, all that life's battles will entail? Will we keep enduring? And we will, because of the joy set before us and because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so this morning, what are you enduring and what are you having to go through? Here's the thing, God knows and he is with you. He is making us strong. Church, I want us to even receive this morning, just as we said, Holy Spirit, just can start to download this in our lives this morning. He is making you strong. He is making you strong. Imagine that. You can go to the gym and get strong. You can eat and get strong. But spiritually, God is making you strong. Of course, you can put good disciplines in place. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to read every day. That's important. That's what God calls us to. But he is the one that's actually making us strong. We cannot do this in our own strength. It's not like going to the gym and you work and you push and you pull and eventually your muscles are getting stronger. No, we are simply spending time in his presence and he is making us strong. Isn't that good news? That is good news. Otherwise, you can say, hey, I've enough to endure in life, never mind in my prayer life. You know, it's just like, God, I've enough to endure in my work, never mind trying to endure reading the word. Guys, I want to lift that pressure off you. God says, you simply delight in my presence. Delight in my presence. Spend time in my presence and watch how it will make you strong. That's already good news. That's already something for us to receive this morning and to know that God makes us strong. Here's what he's also doing. He's helping us to keep going. He's helping us to keep going. We're not just trying to do this in our own strength. We're not just trying to muster up the strength. We're not just receiving encouraging words through everybody else. He is actually keeping us going. He is actually keeping you going. Every day, goodness and mercy, they're after you. Every day, his sustaining grace is inside of you. Every day, his grace is empowering you. But for the grace of God, where would we be? Where would we be this morning? And church, we got to encourage ourselves. We live in a Western culture that says, we're task-oriented. I do this, I get this result. I go here and this happens. But God says this morning, you rest in me and through grace you do all things. Through grace. God is looking to encourage us. He's looking to bring us to places we've never been before so that even when we're going through endurance, we are overcomers. Imagine that this morning. Even when we're going through the deepest, darkest valleys, we're still overcomers because he is working on our behalf and he is taking me from glory to glory because he is working through me. And church, I am encouraging our hearts this morning because maybe you're going through a battle of endurance at the moment. Maybe you're about to go through one. Maybe you've got a loved one who's going through a battle of endurance. Maybe you're in a battle of endurance for a person you're believing to see saved. And 10 years later, just seems like nothing is happening. Seems like nothing is changing. But God is with you. God is strengthening you. And God will not leave your side. And you know what your job is actually to be? Weak. Can you imagine that? Your job is to be weak. Because in our weaknesses, he makes us strong. Imagine that just for a moment. Guys, we cannot just skip over this stuff and forget this stuff and let it just be like, oh yeah, I know what you mean, but I've got to get back to it. No, no. Jesus said, it's in your weakness I will be made strong. What's happening there is, as we're becoming weaker, he's enabled to fill all the different areas of our lives. As we're kind of pouring out and saying, God, I've got nothing, will you pour in? Then he's got more room to pour into our hearts and into our lives. Anybody need more of Jesus in their lives? In the sense of his strength, in terms of his heart, in terms of his grace, in terms of, I just need more of you, Lord. Because here's what I've found. Maybe you find the same thing. My thinking is faulty. My thinking is faulty. It's infected by the ways of the world in terms of, you should do this to get that. This should be the way to get that thing done. And God just says, no, weakness is a strength in the kingdom. Because the weaker you are, the stronger I can be through you, which therefore makes you stronger. It makes you stronger. This is the good news of God this morning, and this is grace, the grace of God. So when we endure, we can actually have joy. When we endure, we can actually have joy. It's not something that we have to tuck ourselves up. It's actually in us and through us because he's for us and not against us. We endure with joy this morning. So guys, as we go a bit deeper into this, I want to encourage our hearts. This is why we can be weak, because God is with us. Paul in 2 Corinthians, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time this morning. I want to look at a couple other verses. But this is what Paul says. I want to boast in my weaknesses. I don't want to boast in my accolades. I don't want to boast in my awards. I don't want to boast in all the things that I've done. I want to boast in my weaknesses. In 2 Corinthians, this is what he does. I've been imprisoned repeatedly, but I keep boasting in the Lord. I've been flogged. I've been exposed to death again and again. I've received 39 lashes five times. What? 39 lashes five times. And I just keep boasting in the Lord because he's for me and not against me. Oh my goodness. What have we missed? Because I'd be like, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, get thee behind me. Say, what's going on, Lord? And he says, no, I boast all the more because he is for me and not against me. He's turning all things around for his glory. No weapon formed against me will prosper. He's building endurance in me. He's building endurance in me because he knows that life has ups and downs. He knows that life has many battles. He knows that life has many valleys. And without endurance, I will quit before I ever start. Let me read on a couple more things. I've been beaten with rods three times. Anybody been beaten with rods? Don't even answer that because it would get your parents in trouble. But Mary, you've been beaten with rods three times. Paul was beaten with rods. This is crazy. And yet he says, all I want to do is boast in the Lord. All I want to do is boast in the Lord because of what he has done in me. I used to be out there trying to kill Christians. I used to be out there trying to get as many as I could. Then he radically saved me. He radically transformed me. His grace has anointed me. His grace empowers me. And now all I want to do is do all I can for the kingdom of God. Paul did not like punishment. He did not. Trust me, he did not like that. But he knew that he was fighting a good fight. He knew he was running a good race. And he knew that the Lord was with him. Beaten with rod. Pelted with stones. I mean, this is not good either. And shipwrecked three times. And yet still all he wants to do is boast in the Lord. Anybody want to boast in the Lord this morning? He is for me and not against me. He is with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. I was shipwrecked three times, but God was with me. Amazing. We cannot get this mentality of, oh, if I'm a Christian, then everything's perfect. That's just madness. We don't live in a perfect world. God promises, I will be with you, and I will use everything that has tried to be formed against you. I will turn it around for my glory. I will take everything that the enemy tries to throw at you, and I will turn it around, and I will throw it at him. It doesn't matter what you go through. I will be with you, and my grace will sustain you. And out of it, you will grow. You will absolutely grow. Because if you're like me, you realize there's a bit of growth that needs to happen in your life, needs to happen in your heart. God is growing us, and it's not hard work, it's just him. Let's read James chapter 1, verses 2 to 6. I'm going to read this one together. Consider it pure joy. I don't even know why that's in there, but I do, but I'm just making fun. But my brothers and sisters, wherever you face trials of many kinds, when was the last time you rejoiced when a new trial came? When was the last time? God's not looking for us to be funny. He's just saying, hey, you know something's going on here. You know something's going on because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Another name for endurance. Testing of your faith. God is producing something inside of us. In other words, nothing is wasted in the kingdom of God. See, the only thing that gets us, that does our heads in, maybe it does my head in, is when you do things and it just feels like it's wasted. Like, what was the point of that? What was the point of this? What was the point of that? In the kingdom of God, nothing is wasted because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Verse 4, let perseverance, this is so key this morning, let this resonate and sink in your heart. Let perseverance finish its work. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. No. I am a wonderful son and daughter in God. Let perseverance finish its work in me, Lord. When was the last time we prayed that? Wow. Oh my goodness. Why is this in here, Lord? When was the last time? Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. Here's the reason. There is always a purpose. There is always a reason. There is always a point. God doesn't do anything that's pointless. He doesn't do anything that doesn't have a reason. That you may be mature and complete. And there's no full stop after that. It's a comma. Because there's more to come. That you may be lacking in nothing. Not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Do we realize that the road to our success is to endure perseverance when it comes, to go through it, allow it to finish its work, and watch out because it's going to make us more mature, more complete, and lacking nothing. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. We're not stealing nothing. We're not getting away from nothing. We're not shortcutting anything. We are letting perseverance finish its work in our lives because then it completes us. Then we come to a place of maturity. Then we are lacking nothing. Could it be that we're not maturing, the way we should be because we're always skipping out of the perseverance and the endurance and the trials that we're getting ourselves into? Guys, we cannot short-circuit or shortcut the work of the Spirit in our lives. There are times we simply have to endure. Now, what's our response as we endure? Joy and boast. Boast in the Lord. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. Really? That would be enough for me. Oh, yeah, and I've been flogged a load of times. I've been beaten. I've been this, I've been that. But God is doing something inside my life. God is doing something inside of my life. I tell you what, you know what the most impressive thing about that collection of words is? The last part, God is doing something in my life. By faith, I'm receiving it. By faith, I know it. By faith, I understand there is a bigger work that's taking place in me. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. I love that this is in after this part because we would say to ourselves, oh, we don't need that. I can't get my head around. That might be for some Christians, but it can't be for me. And then God just throws it in there to get our attention. If you lack wisdom, if you're struggling to get this, then ask for wisdom and I'll give you wisdom. This is the way of the kingdom. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and who will be given to you. Anybody want to mature this morning? Anybody want to be complete this morning? Anybody want to lack nothing this morning? Then allow perseverance to finish its work in you. Allow endurance to run its course because God is moving and God is shaking things and God is moving you and he's taking you to places you've never been before. We can't eject in the middle of perseverance. We can't do it. Let me tell you a fun story this morning just for a moment. About shortcuts. I think it was last year, Gordon, we did the marathon. Gordon said to me, it sounded like a good idea at the time. It was not a good idea. He said to me, we should do the relay. I was like, okay, didn't want to do it. But by faith, I said yes. And it got near the time, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I need to get out and practice a bit. Maybe I should run a bit. And I thought to myself, I'd run all day. You know, 3-4 miles all day. It'd be no problem at all. God, I couldn't even run past the house. It was just like, oh man, this is just crazy. So I thought to myself, I ran up and down a bit. I thought to myself, this is mad. I'm never doing this. And then somebody said to me, and it was brilliant, it was a shortcut, it was an escape. They said to me, you know, some people just walk it. I was like, that sounds good. So I thought to myself, yeah, I wasn't telling anybody. I was saying, Nikki, you're going to be running. It's going to be amazing. The girls are like, you're going to do this. Everybody's like, this is awesome. And so I get to the marathon, and you know, sometimes you have to be smart, you know, and this is wrong smart, but I was being smart. And I thought to myself, you know, I want to beeline to a couple of people in our group that I know is not going to really want to run. They're going to walk. And I'll just support them. You know, that's how I will get in there. I will support them. So I got around a couple of them, and they said to me, you know, we're not going to run today. And I was like, oh, really? I'd already heard. I said, oh, really? And I said to them, you know, I'll stick with you. You know, I'll stick with you. And they were like, you know, we're going to do the 4-miler one. I was like, no problem, we'll do it. And then they said to me, you know, you could run a bit if you want. I said, yeah, I'll probably run a bit. I was not running any, but it would probably run a bit. And so in the midst of this relay, I've got a good friend of mine, Dave. Here's the side story. Now, he's a great guy. If you know him, then you know he's a great guy. If you don't, I'm telling you, he's a great guy. He has come to Vibe for years, and he loves running. And he's always been trying to get me to run, always been trying to get me to the gym. And when he does get me to the gym, I sit in the jacuzzi and time him in the pool because I'm not bothered with it. So he says to me, I can't believe you're going to run the marathon. This is like everything he has prayed for and asked for and sought for years. And said, yeah, Dave, going to do it. And he says to me, tell you what, would you let me be the person that you tag, you know, like the next stage in the relay? I was like, yeah, Dave, you can be the next person. Now, I haven't told him I'm not running at all. I'm going to walk. So it comes to the day, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we're going to look like idiots if we don't run a bit. But it turns out loads of people walk. So if you want to do the marathon, just walk it. It'll look good. And by the end of it, I got my t-shirt, got my medal, got everything. I didn't run at all. Felt so bad. But everybody else thought it did so good. And so I'm doing this marathon. We're walking it. Now, here's what I thought to myself. I thought, Dave's going to die if I don't run. So I'm going to make sure to run in the last few seconds. So I look out. I'm trying to find, because you know the way it's really chock-a-block, trying to find everybody. I thought to myself, if he sees me walking, I'll never let this down for years. So I have to fool him. So I looked out and I spotted him just a few hundred meters down the road or whatever it was. I thought, right, I'm going for this now. So I knew there was no way to fool the sweat, but I'm going to run anyway. So I run in and I'm going. And then he goes to me, yeah, I'm over here. I knew he was. And he goes, I'm over here. I was like, Dave, go. Don't even wait. He goes, I can't believe you ran this. Can't believe you did this. You've done so well. And I couldn't say anything. I was like, yeah, Dave, just go. And I thought to myself, wow, I have done this so well. And I fooled him. But you know what? I just fooled myself. He was able to run and run all day. I couldn't even run the length of myself. Perseverance has to finish its work in you. Endurance has to happen. I wasn't prepared to do the running. I wasn't prepared to do the training. I wasn't prepared to stick at it. So when it came down to it, and it came to the day where I needed to do it, I couldn't do it. And I tried to fool, but it made no difference because in reality, I knew what the situation was. I knew that I couldn't do it. And it didn't matter that I fooled Dave. It wasn't going to fool anyone. I couldn't do it because I didn't allow endurance to finish its work in me. And I got this thought in my mind. I thought to myself this morning, church, I wonder, are we beating ourselves because we're not enduring at the moments we need to endure? We've decided in our minds, I'm not into running. I don't do that thing. But God says to us this morning, I've called you and I've chosen you and I'm with you and I will sustain you. And you are to be the men and women that will run the race. You are the men and women that will run the race of endurance and will go for this thing. And I encourage you this morning, the reason you're not able to do those things is because you're not enduring, because you haven't allowed endurance to finish its work in you. And some days it's hard to open our Bibles. And some days it's hard to pray. And sometimes it's hard to come to church. But you've got to just do something and make something and cause action to get the motivation hopefully later. And of course, there are exceptions, but you know, and you'll know in your spirit what that means to you. But perseverance has to be working in your lives. Here's a question for our hearts. What are you persevering at the moment in? What are you enduring at the moment for the Lord? What are you enduring? Is it I'm enduring every day going in and being a Christian in my workplace, or I got out of that because I didn't tell anybody that I'm a Christian? Is it that I'm faithfully praying for a friend that's not saved yet? Or I prayed that once and I'm just trusting that God knows that and he's just left it with me. It's not works, but it's endurance. You know? We're enduring this thing. We're going through it. We're facing it. We're being upfront about it. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to sustain us. Remember, you can't do this in your own strength. But if we would allow God, he would mature us. If we would allow him, look what would happen. Perseverance would finish its work in us so that we may be mature. If we would allow God, he would make us mature. But we can't become mature if we're not willing to go through some perseverance, if we're not willing to go through some trials and through some tests. God's a good God. He's so kind. If we want out, he'll take us out. He'll get us out of that pressure. But he wants us to stay in there in his strength and go with his wisdom and go with his clarity and with his heart. And then maturity can come in our lives. He wants to make us complete, but perseverance has to finish its work. He wants us to be lacking nothing. I want to be lacking nothing today, church. I want to be lacking nothing in my life, but I need to allow the Lord to finish perseverance, to finish his work, to allow me to endure, to allow me to overcome. I want to read a couple more verses, and we're going to be done in just a few moments. How do we endure this morning? I believe this morning we endure through reminding ourselves that we are men and women of victory. That we remind ourselves that we are men and women of victory. Because here's the good news. Even if we fail in the battle, even if we get overcome in the battle, even if it doesn't quite go to the plan that we anticipated or expected, we are men and women of victory. We are victorious this morning because Jesus is victorious. And because we are new creations in Christ, we are victorious. Church, we need to know that, and you need to know that on your heart, because sometimes the biggest reason that we don't begin is because of the fear of failure. But if you know as you go into that battle, if you know as you go into that fight that you're already victorious, then there is no fear, there is no fear of failure, and there is no way that the enemy can overcome. Now, you may get burned, you may feel a bit this, you may feel a bit that, you may feel this pressure, you may feel that, you may go through the valleys, you may go through the pains, but you know that you will surely overcome because God is for you and you are victorious. It's not some weird TV program. It's not some weird book. This is who we are in Christ. We are victorious. We are heirs, co-heirs with Christ, and we are heirs to the things of God. Romans 8, we're going to read it together. What then shall we say in response to these things? Let's read this over our heart. If God is for us, who can be against us? God needs us to ask this question. If God is for us, who can be against us? When I go into the battle, why will I keep going? Because I know if God is for me, who can be against me? And I will answer that question, no one. If God is for me, who can be against me? No one. Does not matter what they try, doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter what they shout, doesn't matter what they do. They cannot be against me if God is for me. He who does not spare his own son. This is where it came from. It came from Jesus. But give him up for all of us. How will he also this, along with him, graciously give us all things. Where do we get all things? We get them from God. How do we receive them? Graciously. Through grace, he graciously gives us all things, everything that we require, everything that we need, everything that we face. He will graciously give us the things that we need to sustain us. He's such a gracious God. He is so gracious, and he pours out his grace extravagantly. Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? You're chosen this morning. You need to know that you are chosen, that God chose you, that through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, he adopted you into his presence, and that you are chosen this morning. Who can be against you? Who can bring charge against you? Who can stand against you? The enemy may shout, but he cannot counsel you because God has chosen you. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one that condemns you? No one. Christ Jesus died for you. No one can condemn you. Church, as we go through the battles, here's what I want to encourage you with. When Jesus went to the cross, what did he do? He defeated sin and death. What did he ultimately do with the enemy? He stripped him of his authority. He stripped him of his authority. It said that the enemy had the keys of life and death. He stripped them off him. And then what does he say to us? He says, I'll give you the keys. I'll give you the keys of authority. So church, this morning, we have the keys of authority. So when the enemy comes, he's still powerful. He's still got power. He's got power in a measure, but he has no more authority. He has no more authority. And who's got the authority this morning? We have the authority because God has given it to us. So we can endure in the same way as Jesus endured. For the cross that was set before him, he endured because of joy. And we can endure this morning because of joy. And where does our joy come from? Jesus. And what have we got? We have his authority. And when the enemy strikes up against us, we counsel him in Jesus' name. We have the authority. When the enemy comes in might and power, we counsel him because we have authority. And authority always beats power. Know that this morning, church. Even when the enemy has power, it cannot trump authority. Authority always beats power because we have the authority in Jesus' name. And that's why when we said the demons must flee. That's why when we said we become saved. That's when we said our sins disappear. That's when we said Jesus, he comes and he rescues us because we have the authority given to us by Jesus himself. Now, guys, with that authority, what are we going to do? We're going to go into the battles. we're going to run into the battles. We're going to go into the places that we need to endure. We're going to go in because we know that we are more than overcomers because the Lord has given us the authority. So before we were nervous, before we were scared, before we were anxious, I don't want to go near the battles. I don't want to go near the tests. I don't want to go near the trials. Can you see why now James says in James chapter 1, consider it all joy when you face trials of any kind, temptations of any kind, any battles of any kind, because you have the authority now and the enemy has none. Tell me who wins and who loses. You always win. You always win. No matter what he takes, you are victorious. No matter what he shouts, you are victorious. No matter what he tries to take, you are victorious. No matter what he tries to say, you are victorious because you have the keys, you have the authority, and he has already been defeated. Amen? Can we stand together? We're going to praise the Lord this morning. But I want us to get this into our hearts. We've got to know that we are outrageously victorious in Christ. We've got to know that the enemy has been canceled, that the enemy has been defeated, that God is with us, that there is nothing too hard for him. I could keep going. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The way that we overcome the enemy, the way that we defeat him in all things, the way that we win in all things is his love. We are victorious in his love. Every day the enemy's trying to remind us that we're not loved. Every day the enemy's trying to light us to say that you are not loved, that who would love you, that who would want you. But every day we should remind the enemy that he's already lost and I've been fearfully and wonderfully made, that I'm perfectly loved, that I've been perfectly formed, that perfect love drives out all fear, that my love is assured, that my love is in Christ, and that I'm a new creation in him. What can separate me from his love? Absolutely nothing. His love is my strength. And so this morning, as we are going into a time of worship, I want to release God's love over our lives this morning afresh. How do we endure knowing that we're loved? How do we overcome knowing who we are? We are sons and daughters. Think about this for a minute. I heard it yesterday. I want to share it with your heart just for a moment. Jesus didn't come as a father. He came as a son. I love this. He came as a son because we are called to be sons. He wanted to demonstrate it perfectly to us that you can be just like me, that the same Spirit that empowered me, that the same Holy Spirit that enabled me on the cross, that the same Holy Spirit that allowed me to do all the things that I did is the same Holy Spirit that's available to you. We are called to be sons. Don't get it wrong. Sons is just the generic term. It doesn't mean that we're counseling girls. It's sonship that we are called into. Sonship, whether you're a boy or a girl, it is sonship that we are called into. And so, guys, this morning, let's just close our eyes just for a moment, and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to bring this reality over our minds. Sonship. I am a son. I am a son. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we have to just start responding. And as we start responding, then we start to receive. We start responding, thank you, Lord. Just say thank you. Just say thank you, Lord. Just over and over again, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's things you want to thank him for, do that. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the transformation of my life. Thank you, Lord, you're not finished with me yet. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me in this storm. Thank you, Lord, I'm going through a tough season, but thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Just begin to thank him. You know what the enemy hits most is your praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, you've made me a son. Thank you, Lord, that you've made me a daughter. Thank you, Lord, that even when I don't see it and don't feel it, you're working. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. And Lord, this morning, as we're standing in your presence, let us know the reality of that we are sons, that we've been bought at the highest price, that he has redeemed us, that we have full victory. We have full victory. And it's time that we started to remind the enemy that we have full victory. It's time that we started reminding ourselves that we have full victory. Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because he is with me. My victory is not based on an event to come or circumstances to change. My victory is based on what happened over 2,000 years ago that will never change. My victory is based on that. My victory is based on Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that we remind ourselves that we know in our hearts, Lord, that by faith that we stand and step out in the victory that you have won for us. And so in every moment, in every day, we stand as men and women of victory. Lord, we love you this morning. Just release more of your love, more of your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship him this morning.